Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. In her new book, author Nina Sankovic celebrates the joy of writing letters. She traces the history back to the ancient Egyptians. She brings us letters from the very famous, like Nelson Mandela's sweet and loving notes to his wife Winnie while he was in prison, to James Joyce's lusty notes to Nora Barnacle, to a trove of letters from the not-so-well-known who write just as eloquently of their hope, pain, loss, and love.
And Sankovic asks, why write a letter? Because with email, texting, and all the other ways to instantly communicate, letter writing is a dwindling art. But she makes a passionate case that it's one we should hold on to. She writes that letters are a bridge across time and space. They are often private, but also unique and singular documents that contain evidence of love, kindness, advice, even immortality.
Nina Sankovic is an author, a graduate of Harvard Law School. Her latest book is Signed, Sealed, Delivered, Celebrating the Joys of Letter Writing. She'll be appearing tonight at the Harvard Bookstore in Cambridge. And Nina Sankovic, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to invite our listeners into this conversation. We're talking about the joys of letter writing with Nina Sankovic, and you'll hear about a lot of them in the next few minutes. Do you still write letters? Do you receive them? What do they mean to you? Are you seeing them disappear? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And Nina, I'd like to just start at the beginning because you describe this great trove of letters that you discovered a while back in a shed outside of a house you bought in New York. The letters were written around the turn of the 20th century. To a woman, to the Seligman family, no relation to you, no relation even to the people from whom you bought the house, but they began this wonderful appreciation of letter writing. So tell us about this discovery.
Well, my husband and I had just bought this wreck of an old house. I mean, it had half a roof and no plumbing, no heating, and it had this overgrown backyard that the neighbors had basically been using for dumping trash for years. And one of our first projects was to go out and clean out the backyard. We went back there and we discovered a shed. And inside the shed was a trunk, a steamer trunk, the kind, you know, that an heiress would take to Europe with all of her belongings, you know, for 8 months. This huge trunk. And we opened it up and it is full of letters. And it was just an amazing treasure to me to find just hundreds of letters written to one person. I knew that I could uncover the story of this woman through her letters. And the letters that really fascinated me were the ones written to her by her son. She had three children. The youngest was a boy. And most of the letters in the trunk were written by him, by James.
So this is, the mother is Addie Seligman,
right? That's
right. And the son is James. And he turns out to be a pretty good correspondent. He started writing letters to his mother at the age of four, continued through his college years and beyond. What did you like about his letters?
Well, he's just so, even from a young age, he's just so funny and charming and sweet. And every letter was signed, "Your loving son, James," which was enough for me to just
as a mother, this resonated with you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the 4 years that he was at Princeton from 1908 to 1912, he wrote so vividly about what life was like in college that I just felt as if he had taken me there with him.
Well, why don't you read one of his letters, one that particularly touched you?
Okay, well, this one is very funny. It's written from just his first year there. And he wrote to his mother, "I am getting a good college education, developing like a film, apologizing to the grass every time I step on it, scrambling like an egg, yelling like a bear, telling the upperclassmen to go to hell."
That's great. So he wrote with a lot of sort of wit and energy. And what I took away is you really get the sense of a real person, but also a real time in history.
Yeah, absolutely. He really captured what it was like to be, you know, a college student in the early 1900s. And some of it sounded very familiar to me. Some of it was very different. You know, he spent his money on garters, which was different. But he was always in need of money, which was very similar.
Yeah. So you posed this question that we posed in the introduction. Why write letters? So I know it's a big question, and you spend pretty much a whole book answering that question. But why write letters? Why do they mean so much?
Well, I looked back through thousands of years of letter writing in trying to figure out the answer to that question. Why write letters? What are the qualities of letters that are so important? And I came across so many important qualities, but I think the one for me that means so much is how letters create such a connection between the writer of the letter and the person who's reading the letter. Mm. And that can happen with people who are still alive, like the letters that I write to my own son who's off at college, and the ones I occasionally get from him. But also the letters that I've read from the past really connect me to the past. And these aren't, famous people only that I'm talking about. I read so many letters of people that we only know of because of the letters they left behind. And I discovered just really moving stories, and similar to the way that James Salgeman illustrated Princeton, letters that really illustrated a way of life in the 1850s or the 1700s or the 1100s or even the letters of the ancient Egyptians really allowed me to connect to what life was like for ancient Egyptians.
Yeah, it's really something. I want to sort of come back to this idea of your son, just because he's representative of a different generation or a younger generation. When you dropped him off at college, you said, I think you said something like, drop me a line or write me a letter. And he said, I'll text you. So what's the difference there? I mean, we all text, we all send emails. I know in my heart it's different from writing a letter, but how is it different?
Right. Well, I'm no Luddite. I mean, I love to get a text. I love to get a phone call. But what is special about a letter is the time that is taken in creating a letter, that someone went to the trouble of finding a piece of paper, sitting down, crafting their thoughts, putting them on paper, and that they created this document really just for me. A letter is a very singular singular expression. It's a unique document. And for that reason, to get it in the mail feels almost like a gift, like it's a gift that I've received in the mail, as well as being a real physical connection to my son. It's a piece of paper that I can feel. I can feel the same paper that he touched. I can see him in the way that his handwriting, which I recognize. Sometimes I can even get a little whiff of him. So there's a physical connection there.
Yeah. You say something in here about relationships and letters and love that I found really profound. And again, when you sort of spell it out and express it this way, it seems obvious, but I'd never really thought about it this way. And that is, when you go back and look at a letter that your husband wrote to you or a postcard, maybe 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, you sort of become reacquainted again with that blush of first love or whatever it is. And I love that idea.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. It can really, it's such a great preserver of how you feel about a person, how a person has felt about you. And it's a good reminder of where you've been at different places in your life and who you've been with.
Well, you've got some great letter writers in here. As we mentioned, there are people that no one would have heard of, but there's some great examples from people who are really famous, and I want to just get you to talk about a few of them. For example, I was struck by a beautiful excerpt of a love letter that Nelson Mandela wrote to his then-wife, Winnie, when he was imprisoned on Robben Island. It was just beautiful. I've got it, the part that I've got here. He writes, "Your beautiful photo still stands about 2 feet above my left shoulder as I write this note." He wrote that to her in 1976, 12 years after his imprisonment on Robben Island. "I dust it carefully every morning, for to do so gives me the pleasant feeling that I'm caressing you as in the old days. I even touch your nose with mine to recapture the electric current that used to flush through my blood whenever I did so."
Well, that is a beautiful letter, and it's such a demonstration of just the real chills of connection that can be created by those words. And to think of Nelson Mandela, just completely cut off from human contact, from his family, and yet he was able to reach out to them through being able to write this letter.
Yeah. When I read that letter that Nelson Mandela wrote, I started wondering that, is it a given that a great person is going to leave behind a great letter? Or is there something about writing letters in itself that helps make people, great?
Well, I've read through so many letters, and I have to say that not all letters are great. Some are incredibly boring because they're just, you know, recounting what happened to you that day. And it's not always thrilling. And yet, even in the boring letters, there's something very touching that someone went through the trouble to record this. But I do find great letters everywhere and in all different kind of places. I have to say, I was very surprised by the letters of James Joyce.
Oh, I'm glad you brought up Joyce, because this was the next page I had marked. Tell me about the letters of, because there's some stuff that I don't think we can even mention on the air here.
They are so rude, and they gave me such a different impression of him, and really a much more, blood and bones impression of him. I mean, I'd always had this sort of exalted view, James Joyce, Ulysses, but he really came down to earth for me in those letters and made him so much more accessible. It makes his books even more accessible for having read his letters, which show him to be quite the lusty fellow.
Speaking of that, I actually learned a new word in a James Joyce letter in your book, a word for a sexual act that I will not name, but it was a word I'd never heard.
And it was new to me also.
It was quite an education. Yeah. But speaking of lusty letters to Nora, side by side and inside this spiritual love I have for you, there is also a wild beast-like craving for every inch of your body, for every secret and shameful part of it, for every odor and act of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, wow. Wow. How could she say no to that, right?
How could she say no to that? So tell me about love letters, because, love letters are the ones, as you wrote, that tend to protect, that are supposed to protect most from inquisitive eyes.
Right. Well, and love letters demonstrate one of the great qualities of letters, which is that they are very private. We expect them to be private. There is a cultural expectation, and there's also really a legal protection for letters. It certainly in this age of surveillance is pretty valuable to know that our letters are still protected from probing eyes. And so I think people feel free in letters to express themselves in ways that they otherwise might not. And I talk in my book about a couple from the 1100s, and they're both living in religious houses, a woman in a convent and a man in a monastery, and yet they're writing to each other about this deep sexual connection they had in the past, and the woman still feels it very much. Now, the only way she could feel free to say, look, I still lust after you, in the middle of Mass, I'm still thinking about you, she could only have done that by really relying on the privacy of letters. If people had known she still felt that way, she would have been thrown right out of the convent. And in fact, her letters were protected for about 100 years. And then they were discovered and they became the hit of the Renaissance because they were the hottest lovers, ever known. Abelard and Eloise, they still have Facebook pages. And
I'm so glad, again, you're picking the things that just jumped out of this book at me. So this is what she wrote. This is a 12th century cloistered nun. I'll just read the one line that you included in the book. Lewd visions of pleasure take such a hold upon my unhappy soul that my thoughts are upon their wantonness instead of on prayers.
Yeah. That was really something to admit in a letter. She wouldn't have said that out loud.
No, and certainly not to the Mother Superior.
Right.
Listeners, we are talking to Nina Sankovic. She is the author of Signed, Sealed, Delivered, Celebrating the Joys of Letter Writing. What do you take from the joys of letter writing? Do you still write letters? Do you still receive them? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And Nina, let's take a couple of calls because we've got some people who want to jump into this conversation. Amy is calling from Lowell. Amy, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
Thank you. I just wanted to share a story. My mother wrote letters to a friend of hers in Wisconsin when she was a young wife and starting a family, me and my sister. And just recently, last summer, her friend in Wisconsin apparently had saved all of those letters and mailed them all back to her. So in the mail, completely by surprise, she got a manila envelope, with 20 or so letters that she had written, as a young wife. And now I'm pregnant with my second. So last summer, I was kind of in between two babies, the same point of life my mom was in when she was writing the letters. And what a special gift we have, especially where my mom didn't necessarily save the letters, someone else saved them. 30 years later, thought of her and sent them back.
Well, Amy, that's a great story. Thanks so much for bringing that on the show. Nina, I'm wondering, and your book, of course, raises this sort of fear. It's a dwindling art. Are we losing the art of letter writing? And how worried are you about that?
Well, first I want to say, Amy, that was a great story. I loved hearing that. I'm a bit worried, although I do think that certain kinds of letter writing really do persist. The writing of thank you cards, the writing of condolence letters. And I still think many parents use kind of milestones as a time to write letters to their children. So I'm hopeful that letters do still survive. There was recently in the New York Times an article that children are no longer learning handwriting, which is troubling on many different levels. But for me, what's troubling about that is that children today, and in fact, my youngest son, who is 12, he can't read cursive writing. He just can't make it out. To him, it's almost like hieroglyphics. And so much of our history is found in letters, in archival letters and you know, just letters just around the house, letters in historical societies that are written in cursive. And if we can't decipher those, we've lost a lot of history.
What was that like for you, by the way, in doing this research? Because I'm imagining that a lot of these letters that you uncovered and that you had to read were written in sort of dusty pens and personal handwriting. It must have been a bit of a challenge to decipher in some cases?
Well, it's interesting. Most of the letters that I read were actually so beautifully written. The handwriting was beautiful. Even I read a series of letters between two women who lived in Hartford in the 1800s, and one of them had really not gotten much of a formal education at all. Her spelling was terrible. Her grammar was non-existent. But her handwriting was exquisite, and it was actually easy for me to make out what she had read because of her beautiful handwriting. There were some forms of writing, like using a nib pen, that made it very drippy, and that would make a letter quite difficult to read. But it actually, in the handwriting, you can it's another way of telling something about the personality of the person who's writing. So I actually found it just sort of another clue as to who was writing the letter and what it mattered to them, what they were writing.
Let's go to Emma, who's calling from Arlington. Hi, Emma, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, happy to do it. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm very passionate about letters and letter writing, and some of the people I'm really closest with I have these long correspondences with. And actually, my last relationship was a relationship carried out mostly through letters, someone who I'd been sort of acquaintances with in college, and we ran into each other and set up the pen pals. We had this long series of letters while he was in Tanzania and I was in India, all over the world, and really beautiful. His letters were beautiful, and I was sharing a lot of myself and thought a lot about the words. But then we actually started trying to be together when we were in the same place, no more letters. And I found that it was completely different. There was almost a loss when I was with a person rather than with the letter.
So you were in love via letter, but yes. Not so much face to face.
I think maybe we were in love with the letters themselves. Maybe they're so beautiful.
Interesting. Yeah. Emma, it's a great call. What do you think, Nina?
No, that is really interesting. I can see that happening because in a letter, a person can create a whole persona and a whole beautiful world. So sometimes maybe the reality can be more sobering.
You put a nice idea in play that I'd love you to explain. You write that the qualities of a good letter are the qualities of a good relationship.
Well, you know, it just came to me, that idea, when I was sort of summing up in my own head what makes a good letter and what are the qualities that define a letter. And, you know, this idea of the privacy of the letter and how it creates a connection between one person and another, and that we take time to write a letter. And I realized these are all things that are just as important in just a face-to-face relationship, in any relationship. You know, when we take the time and when we have a really private and unique communication with one person, we're really having a true relationship with them. We're engaging with them in a way that is really special. And another aspect of letters that I think is so important is that there's so much time involved in a letter, that so much of our communication today is very compressed and immediate. If we send out a text, we want a response right away. If I put a picture on Instagram, I want someone to like it right away. Whereas when I write a letter, I put it in the mail, and I'm not expecting a response right away, if at all. You know, there are some letters that we don't even expect responses to. And so there's that wonderful stepping back and allowing time to take to take part of the communication. And that's very important in a relationship as well. When you're in a relationship with someone, you can't always be in their face. You have to give them space and time. And that's exactly what letters allow us to do.
Mm, in a way that an email, for example, does not do.
Right.
That's for sure. Let's go to Steve. He's calling from Cambridge. Hi, Steve. You're on the air. Good to have you.
Anthony and Nina, I have been corresponding with an old friend of mine who unfortunately is in prison for the rest of his life. And we write, I haven't seen him in probably 30 years. And I correspond with him for about 15 years when I heard of his situation. And I find it very, very interesting because I kind of compare his situation to my situation. And, you know, it's just such a different situation, but then at the same time, life is life, and everybody has their struggles and their burdens, and it's just a very satisfying thing, and it's also very satisfying because I know I can't phone him, and I can't email him, and I feel like we both share a lot about the innerness of living.
Well, Steve, thanks so much for that. Nina, another vote there in favor of the depth of expression and emotion that can come through with a letter.
And the connection that builds through these long-term correspondence is profound. Yeah.
Let's take one more call. I think we've got time for Penny, who's calling from Winchendon. Hi, Penny, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking that call. I would just like to share a story. And I'm a confirmed letter writer and tried to instill that in each of my three children. And as they grew up, they wrote letters on one occasion to their great-grandmother as Christmas gifts and to their dad one year for Father's Day. So they had to practice, get the grammar, the spelling, the penmanship, everything had to be just right. It took a while, but we had them framed and matted, and to this day they are very prized possessions.
That's a great story. Thank you so much for that, Penny. Nina, I think you've really sort of touched something profound and wonderful with this book. You know, you started early on telling us about the young man who wrote to his mother in that trove of letters, and your son went off to college. What kind of letter writer is he?
He's a very messy letter writer, but I can decipher his writing. What's funny is he told me he'd sent a letter, and I said, well, I still haven't gotten it, And then it finally arrived, and it was just a yellow piece of paper he'd written on and then folded over and written the address and put the stamp, but no envelope. And I said, Peter, why didn't you have an envelope? And he said, oh, I couldn't find one. Now, he lives a block from CVS, but apparently, you know, he just couldn't find an envelope. And I just love that the post office still gave me that, you know, made sure I got my letter.
They still do it through wind, rain, fog. I'm forgetting the expression. But anyway, yes. So write letters. Nina Sankovic is the author of Signed, Sealed, Delivered, Celebrating the Joys of Letter Writing. She'll be appearing tonight at the Harvard Bookstore in Cambridge. A lot more information at radioboston.org. Nina, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for this lovely book.
Thank you very much.
Stay with us. There's a lot more still ahead. Coming up, the Peabody Essex Museum's Composer in Residence has a new take on the story of Orpheus. I'm Anthony Brooks with Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.